All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Our shir this morning is dedicated by one of our former in-person shir attendees and still a devoted listener to the Daf Hilly Kagan, Baruch Hashem, formerly of Baltimore, now of Silver Spring, dedicating the Daf this morning in honor of Bechoros HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klal Yisrael, the members of the shir. All right, Jabosai, let's begin. Today's Daf is Donhei 55. We have a lot to do today. We left off at the two dots. Arnun Dalam Days 54b. Hayu Bein Elu Li Elu Shloshim Ushnayim Mil Ein Mitztarfes. We're supposed to remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea in terms of how do you go ahead and create a cohort for Maaser Behema. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if animals are grazing over an area of 16 mil, they're still considered to be a cohesive unit. The Mishnah then made a strange, enigmatic statement that if there's 32 mil, if there was 32 mil in between the sheep, then ultimately, again, they do not combine. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, isn't that obvious? You just told me it's 16 mil and not 32 mil. So shloshim ushnayim hu de'ein mitztarfin, habitzir me'achim mitztarfin. You tell me if it was less than 32 mil, they would combine. So the v'halkatani shisha sar mil tvei lo. So we'll say ultimately again, but what did we just say before? We just said before that halacha lemaisa, it's only an area of 16 mil in which the animals are able to combine to form a meiser sheni cohort, but no more. To which the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, mishum dekabayi lemisne seifa. It's only because the Mishnah wants to establish some level of mishneik symmetry. Hayulo be'emtza, nevi uma'asrin be'emtza. We'll say ultimately again, since the Mishnah spoke about the case of ultimately again where you have sheep in the middle, although we're going to define this in just a bit. If you have here's what we know. The Mishnah tells me, how many animals do I need to create a Maaser Behema unit? 10. So now, of course, Rabbi said the Shaila is, so here's what's interesting about this. I think before the Mishnah, we often assume that the Maaser Sheni cohort, where are the 10 animals existing? Well, what was your mental image? Whenever you would daydream about Maaser Behema, right? How would you always imagine it in your mind's eye? In a pen. Right, that's how we always imagine it. So we'll say, so you know from your vast shepherding experience that you take sheep out on the free range. So the shaila becomes, how do you determine what is a group, what is a cohort for Maaser Behema? To which the Mishnah says, 16 mil. 16 mil, which is a very large area, that's if you have sheep grazing, that those are considered to be a Maaser Sheni cohort. Then the Mishnah said, Hayubin Eilili Eilu Lamed Beis Mil in Mitztarfin. If there's 32 mil in between the sheep, they're not Mitztarif. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. I know that. You just told me 16 mil, not 32 mil. To which the Gemara explains, no. What it's saying over here is as follows. That ultimately, 32 mil means they're both saying that if you can't have 32 mil, but less than 32 mil, if you have sheep over here, and sheep in the middle, the sheep in the middle will ultimately go ahead and combine the two groups of sheep into one large cohort. But that only works if what? There is less than 32 mil between the two outlying sheep camps, right? So the sheep in the middle have the ability to combine the two outlying sheep groups, right? Chevras, as long as there's less than 32 mil between the two outlying camps, to which the Gemara says v'kama. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, we'll say this is actually really fascinating. So now what we're saying is, some sheep in the middle have the ability to bring the two outlying camps together. How many sheep do you need in the middle? Amarav, chamish mikan v'chamish mikan v'chamish v'emtza. So Rav said, 5 in each outlying camp and 5 in the middle. So we'll say, and the logic being that what? The 5 in the middle ultimately could be mitztarif to either one of the two groups, and therefore combine both of the two groups into one cohesive cohort. The 5 in the middle could either be attributed to either one of the outlying camps. So we'll say that's the sheet of Rav. Rav says, in order to go ahead and to bring together two outlying sheep groups that are separated by an area of less than 32 mil, you need at least 5 sheep in the middle. The 5 sheep in the middle, 5 on each outlying camp, those 5 in the middle could attach themselves to either one of the two camps, creating a Maaser Sheni cohort, and creating all of them
into one unit. That's Rav. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Afilu chamish mikan, vehe mikan, ve'echad be'emtza. Shmuel says, no, you don't need five in the middle. What do you need? One in the middle. You just need a bridge. You just need someone. So we'll say essentially what Shmuel is saying is like this. You just need some member of the cohort, ultimately, again, to bridge the distance. So as long as there's one sheep in the middle, that brings all the sheep together. So the Gemara says, Chazina l'roa keman dekaihacha vikarid beimona. Because we'll say if there's a sheep in the middle, we view the shepherd as being there as well. As you saw in yesterday's daf, why 16 mil? Where do we get that shear from? Because we assume that's the ocular range of the roa, of the shepherd. So ultimately, again, where there's a sheep in the middle, we assume the roa is going to be there as well. And if since the roa could see 16 mil in either direction, that brings all the sheep into one meiser sheni group. Top of Munhei. May say the Mari Zakasha, Hayulo Chamish Bikfar Chananya, the Chamish Bikfar Osnai. If you had five sheep in the village of Chananya, five sheep in the village of Osni, in Mitstarfos, the two groups of sheep cannot go ahead and combine with each other. Rashi points out of here, Tap Rashi, Mikfar Osnai Likfar Chananya, Shnaim Ushloshim Milan. From Kfar Osnai to Kfar Chananya is 32 mil. So therefore, if you have sheep in these two areas, they will not combine because it's more than 32 mil. However, Ad Shehelo Achas B'Tzipori. As long as you have one sheep in Tzipori, and I both say Tzipori is in the middle of those two villages, that one sheep in the middle combines the two outlying groups. To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta Derav. This would be a refutation error, because according to Rav, remember again, how many sheep did you need in the middle to create a bridge? Five. This clearly supports the view of Shmuel that all you need is one, and refutes Rav. Tirgama Shmuel Aliba Durav. So listen to how beautiful this is. So remember again, this is a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you need five sheep in the middle. Shmuel says you need one. The Braisa supports Shmuel. But yet look what Shmuel does. Tirgama Shmuel Aliba Durav. Shmuel explains the Braisa according to Rav, saying that what kigon sheutesha mikan v'tesha mikan v'achas be'emtza. This is Shmuel defending Rav. They just proved Shmuel, but he's defending Rav. So Shmuel said, no, what's the case over here? The case over here is where you had nine sheep in Kfar Chananya, nine sheep in Kfar Osnai. In a case like that, Rav was saying, even Rav would agree that what? One in the middle is enough to go ahead and create the bridge. In other words, the only time that Rav apparently really holds that you require five in the middle is when? Is halacha lemais when you have five on each side. But if you have nine on each side, one in the middle is enough to create maaser sheni cohesion. Dahi chazi lahacha, v'chazi lahacha. Because that one sheep in the middle ultimately, again, could combine with either of the outlying groups. Beautiful. To which the Gemara says, Amar Papa Ula Shmuel Afilu Roa Metzarfan. The boss that comes along, Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says like this: when Shmuel said that all you need is one sheep in the middle to combine the two outlying groups, Shmuel didn't even mean it has to be a sheep, but rather Shmuel holds that even the roa, even the shepherd in the middle, has the ability to combine the two groups. Very important. So we'll say all what Shmuel essentially is saying is that what? I just need a bridge. I need something. So you're about to say again, remember, here's what we know. What we know is the only way that a group of sheep form one unit for Meister Behema purposes is if they are in an area of Tes Zion Mil, 16 mil or less. If I have a flock, or flock? Flock of Shere. If I have a flock that is dispersed over more than 16 mil, I need something to bring it together. So in this case over here, where the flock is dispersed, we'll call it over 31 mil. As long as I have something in the middle that brings it all together, I'm okay. So Shmuel said before, one sheep in the middle. Now the Gemara is saying, by the way, it doesn't even have to be a sheep. The shepherd in the middle, right, who could then see in both directions, also brings the two groups together. V'afilu kelev shel roa mitzarfan. Even the utensils of the roa. So you're both saying, if the roa leaves his utensils, his shepherding utensils, whatever those may be, right in the middle of the two groups of sheep, we assume that wherever the utensils are, that's where the shepherd is going to be as well. That also brings together the groups. What about, listen to this question. Boy Ravashi, Kalba Doro Emai. What about the sheepdog? Right, the sheepdog. What happens if the shepherd left his dog in the middle of the two groups of sheep? Does the presence of the dog bring the two groups together? So the Gemara says, Kevan dekar leva asi lo mitzarfi. So do we say, since the shepherd calls the dog comes to him. Therefore, the dog is not considered to be, quote unquote, stationary, and therefore can't bring the two groups together. O dilma zinnin delo asi, o mitzarech ihu la mezel vaase. Or maybe there are other times where even if the shepherd calls the dog will not follow, will not respond, and the shepherd will have to go to the dog. See, Rebbe was saying, the idea is, wherever the sheep is, that's where the shepherd goes. Wherever the utensils are, that's where the shepherd goes. What about the dog? Does the dog always come to the shepherd, or are there times that the shepherd goes to the dog? If the dog always comes to the shepherd, then the dog can't serve as a bridge. If there are times that the shepherd has to go to the dog, then the dog can serve as the bridge, to which the Gemara says, Teku. We'll have to leave that for Eliyahu HaNavi. Good. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayardin Mafsik Lamaiser Behema. So let's remember again, so the Mishnah said, Rabbi Meir holds that the Yarden, the Jordan River, has the ability to be Mafsik for Maiser Behema. Now both say, so this is very important. So Rabbi Meir holds like this, that if you have part of your flock on one side of the Jordan River, and another part of the flock on the other side of the Jordan River prevents the two groups from becoming one unit for Maaser Behema purposes. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami, Lo Shanu Ela She'ein Sham Gesher. That's only true if there is not a bridge. Aval Yesham Gesher Gesher Metzarfon. But if there's a bridge, right, then ultimately again, the bridge bridges the two groups. Right, they will say so. So again, we're assuming right now that the reason why ultimately, again, the Jordan River goes ahead and creates a barrier between the two groups is why, because literally physically they cannot join together, and therefore again says the Gemara or says Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Ami, if halacha lemaisa there is a bridge so that they can get together, then ultimately they can combine into one group, to which the Gemara says Alma. See from here that the problem with the Jordan River, meaning the reason why if you have your two groups of sheep on both sides of the river, that ultimately, again, they cannot combine into a Maaser Behema unit, is because, literally, again, they are physically separated. So the Gemara says, that's true. Meisve, Reza Kasha. This is really very interesting. Hayulo b'shnei avrei yarden, eilech ve'eilech. I'm a shepherd, and let's say the shepherd has, right, in his group of sheep, five sheep on one side of the Jordan, five sheep on another side of the Jordan. By the way, you understand, it doesn't have to be 5 and 5. It doesn't matter. It could be 9 and 1, 8 and 2, 7 and 3, 6 and 4, you know, so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, so you have two group, you have your group of sheep, one on one side of the Jordan, one on the other side of the Jordan. Eilech ve'eilech, o bishnei avtilos, kigon shalnemer v'nimuri. Or Rabbi says two avtilos. What is two avtilos? Rashi says shnei afarachios ubamalchus echad. Two, literally it means two provinces. Two provinces. I have my sheep split up into two provinces. Now Rabbi says, now what's the chap over here about two provinces? Same landmass. Just we'll call it two different municipalities, right? It's the same monarchy, same government. Just two different municipalities. He goes, shall never anymore. Eight, so what's talocha? In mistarfin. They both say, so this is actually very interesting. So if you have two sheep, right? Two sheep in two different municipalities, right? I have five sheep in Baltimore City, five sheep in Baltimore County, right? Two different aparachios. Ultimately, again, says the Braisa, they do not combine to form a Maaser Behema unit. Ve'in sarach lomar, chutza la'aretz va'aretz. We'll say, listen to this, and it goes without saying that if you have five sheep in Chutz Laretz and five sheep in Eretz Yisrael, they do not combine to form a Maaser Behema unit. But 1 second, v'ha'chutz la'aretz v'aretz kimakom sheyesh kesher dami. But I will say, why wouldn't Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz be like a landmass that has a bridge? As we'll say, what did we just say before? We just said before, let's trace the progression. The Mishnah said that if I have sheep on two sides of the Jordan, ultimately what? That Jordan divides up the two groups and they do not combine for Meiser Behema purposes. Rabbi Meir says that's only if there is no bridge. Now I have a Braisa. The Braisa says, if I have sheep in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, just mamish like over the border, they do not go ahead and combine for Meiser Behema purposes. Two sheep in two provinces, they do not combine. The Rabbi will say, shouldn't those cases be no different than a case of two sides of the Jordan with a bridge? In other words, there, these are cases of the same land mass. There is no body of water in between, yet it doesn't combine. What's going on over here? Vakatani lo mitzdarfin. Ela amrav chibar abba amrav yochanan. Hainu taimin di Rabbi Meir. They will say, what is Rabbi Meir's logic? Then ultimately, again, the Jordan River divides for Meiser Behema purposes. Damer kra, v'hayarden yigbal oso l'fa'as kedma. Because we'll say the Pasuk in Yoshua says that ultimately, again, the Jordan River will be the border of Eretz Yisrael on the eastern side. Kedma, hakasov asa'a gvul bifnei atzmo. We'll say the Torah has made the Jordan River into a border. Because ultimately, again, the Torah, the Navi, makes it into a border on its own. Therefore, what? By definition, is considered to be a stopping point. So because Torah makes it an explicit border, groups of sheep on both sides cannot combine to form one unit. So this is very important. So now what Rabbi Meir is ultimately teaching me is that any area that is considered to be a border, by definition, goes ahead and stops group, or I should say disrupts group continuity. We'll say, so by the way, now I also understand why a group of sheep, part of them in Eretz Yisrael, part of it in Chutz La'aretz, also won't form a unit. I also begin to understand why two groups of sheep in two different provinces also can't form a unit. Any time that by definition there is a border, so borders create a disruption in group continuity. So they want to say, El Mi'atza, but if that's the case, V'ta'ar ha'gavul v'ala ha'gavul, but I will say, what about the following? If you look at Rashi, Elamiata, Rashi says, Kol dechsiv benachalas hashvatim v'tar hagvul, hachanami dechol shevet v'shevet gvul b'fnei atzmo. So we'll say here, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, again from Yoshua, that speaks about the dividing lines between the different tribal areas. So you're going to tell me then, right, each of the tribal areas have their own borders, right? Yehuda has his portion. Binyamin has his portion. Are you going to tell me that a group of sheep that grazes in between tribal borders also can't form a group for Meiser Behema? So you're going to tell me that if the Navi calls it a border, then by definition that breaks up flock continuity, flock cohesion, to which the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam. It's different there by the tribal borders. Why? The Amar Kra, Zos Tia Lachem Ha'aretz L'Gvulo Seha Saviv. But say there the Pasuk says, this shall be the borders of Eretz Yisrael around the entire land. Kula Eretz Yisrael Gvul Echati. But say all of Eretz Yisrael is considered to be one border. In other words, we're both saying, what it's saying over here is like this. The borders of Eretz Yisrael are only significant vis-a-vis the external borders to the lands around it. Inside the tribal areas, although the tribal areas are clearly demarcated, those tribal demarcations do not have the status of borders. They do not have the status of borders, and therefore will not disrupt flock continuity or flock cohesion for the sheep. Ihachi yardei nami aretz. So we'll say if that's the case, then why does the Jordan River serve as a barrier? To which the Gemara says, Eretz velo Yarden. Because we'll say the Pasuk is quite explicit in saying that what's considered to be a cohesive area, only the Eretz, only the land, but not the Jordan River. Once you get to the river by definition is a border. To which the Gemara says, Erzo Yardin. Bishla Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Hainu Diktani Yardin. So it's a current Reb Chiya Bar Abba. I understand why the Pasuk says Yardin. Ella the Rabbi Ami, why the Mishnah says Yardin. Why Rabbi Meir's example is the Yardin. El Rabbi Ami, Lisninhu, Lekula Naras. But according to Rabbi Ami, why is it just the Jordan River? Rabbi say, in reality, it should be any river in Eretz Yisrael that ultimately, again, should serve as a border in between land masses, disrupting flock continuity, to which the Gemara says, Kasha. In reality, that is a very good question. To which the Gemara says, Lima Kitanoi. Both say, the truth is, the status of the Jordan River as a barrier in and of itself is in fact a machlokes tanoim. This is actually really amazing. Look at Rashi. Lima Kitanoi. Iyardin Chashav Eretz Kinan Velo Yav Sikilo. Both say, this is really fascinating. Is the Jordan River considered to be like Eretz Yisrael or not? Both say, and I want to be clear. The Jordan River is most certainly part of Eretz Yisrael. Because remember, again, you have 2.5 tribes who got their tribal portion on the other side of the land, right? On the other side of the river. So halacha lemaisa, again, so halacha lemaisa, they definitely have it on the other side. So the Jordan is part of Eretz Yisrael. The shaila we're asking over here is, on a technical level, does it create a barrier for the flocks? So at the end of the day, the shaila becomes, so this is a machlokes tanoim. So here we go, boss. What's the machlokes tanoim? Ki atem ovim es hayarden artza kinan. The pasuk says, you are passing over the Jordan. You are passing over the Jordan to Eretz Kinan. So watch this. Says the Gemara, ki atem ovim es hayarden artza kinan. Artza kinan v'lo hayarden. What do you see from here? It's only the land of Israel, right? The actual physical land that's considered to be Eretz Yisrael and not the Jordan. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Shoma Yacharshbi says, Hari Omer, Me'ever liyardin yirecho kedma mizracha. The Pasuk says, on the other side of the Jordan, from Yericho and northeast. To which the Gemara says, Ma Yericho, Eretz Kinan, just like Yericho is part of Eretz Kinan, Af Yarden Eretz Kinan. So to the Jordan River is considered to be part of Eretz Kinan as well. So remember again, what we're really asking over here is, when looking at these halachos, does the Jordan River have the status of land, or is it something different? You'll say, what does it matter? So here's an afkamina. It matters ultimately for matters of Meiser Behema. If I have two parts of my flock on either side of the Jordan River, does the Jordan River create a hefsik between the two parts of the flock, and therefore they can't combine for Meiser Behema purposes? Or does the Jordan River still allow the two ultimately to combine into one? So this is a machlokes. It's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, ultimately, again, the river is not part of the land. And Rashbi, Rabbi Shema Yochai, says the river is part of the land. Amra Barbachano, Amra Biochanan. Ein Yardis, we'll say now. So now the Gemara says, Amra Barbachano, Amra Biochanan. Ein Yardin, Ela mi beis Yerecho Ulamato. We'll say now we're going to speak about, interestingly enough, which part of the Jordan River has the status of the Yarden. Shabbat Rachana says, it's only the part from Yericho and on. Yericho lemato. Lemai. So we'll say, Salamai Hilchasa. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what are the ramifications of this? What? We'll say, so just to understand, you know, if, okay, fine. So from Yericho and on, to which the Gemara, Salamai Hilchasa, Ilema linoder. So I say, if you want to say that if a person says, I hereby take a neder not to drink of the waters of Yericho. So therefore, now what you're telling me is what? Waters of Yericho refers to what? Person makes a neder not to drink of the waters of the Yarden. So what does that refer to? That refers to the area of the water by Yericho. To which the Gemara says, well, that's not true. Because by nedarim, Halach achar lashon b'nei adam. V'chol heichad dekar le'yardin itzar le. But when it comes to nedarim, we know that nedarim are governed by the way people speak. So at the end of the day, if you take a neder not to drink from the waters of the Yarden, that neder will devolve upon whatever waters people colloquially call the Yarden. Ela l'maiser behema. Rather, it must be for maiser behema. They will say, when do we say, according to Rabbi Meir, when do we say that halacha lemaisa, the Jordan River creates a barrier between flock cohesion for Meiser Behema purposes. That's only of the area of the Jordan, ultimately, again, from Yericho and down. To which the Gemara says, Tanya Namiachir Baisa, that supports this. Yardin Yotse Mima'aras Pamyas. Most of this is so beautiful. Where does the Jordan River emanate? Where does it begin, Abosai? So Ma'aras Pamyas are the Banyas Falls. The Banyas Falls, the Yerich, right? The Jordan River begins in Banyas. Umahalech B'yamash al Sivchi, and it goes through the Sivchi Lake. That is a lake that is above the Kinneret. It goes to the Lake of Sivni. U'B'yamash al Tveria, and then it goes through, ultimately, again, the Kinneret. Ubiyama shall Sdom. Then it goes to the Dead Sea. You're both saying this is how the Jordan River flows. Right? It begins in the Banyas. It really begins even earlier than the Banyas. From the Banyas to Sivchi Lake to the Kinneret to the Dead Sea. The Holich v'Nofel Yam Hagadol. Then it goes out to the Mediterranean. So we'll say this is an interesting part over here because it doesn't appear that ultimately anything flows from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean. So the Rishonim explained what it means. They will say that there are underground channels, that there were underground channels of water that ultimately went from the Dead Sea out to the Mediterranean. V'nofei amagadol ve'en yardin elamei b'Yisrael lamato. And what we call the Jordan River, though, is only this. That name is only given to that body of water from Yericho and down. So beautiful. Why is it called the Jordan River? Why is it called the Yarden? Sheyoreit midan, because Rabbi says it begins in the tribal area of Dan. Banyas, right? The Golan is in the tribal area of Dan. So Yarden is Yoreit Dan. So beautiful. Worth it just to come for that, right? Yoreit Dan, it comes down from Dan. So Amrali Rabbi Abba Ravashi Asun Mehasamas Nisalan. You learned it from there. Anan mehacha masinalam. We learn it from here. Vayikru lo leleshem dam. Vayikru. So the pasuk over the Gemara is quoting is from Yoshua. Vayikru leleshem dam kishem dan avim. When Dan conquered the city of Leshem, they renamed it Dan in honor of their patriarch Dan. Vayikru lo leleshem dan avim. Arav Yitzchak Leshem. Zupamyas. Leshem ultimately again was the Banyas Falls. Vitanya Yotse Yardin Mimaras Pamyas. And we learned that ultimately the Yardin emanates from the Banyas Falls. Amrav Kahana Zichruse Diardin Mimaras Pamyas. We'll say so. Rav Kahana says the origin of the Jordan River. The Jordan River originates in the Banyas Falls. Therefore, Hecha da Amar Lo Shasina Mai Mimaras Pamyas. Isser le bekula yardena. If a person were to make a neder that I am not going to drink any water from the cave of Panyas, from the Banyas Falls, that asers him in the entire Jordan River. He can't drink water from any of the Jordan. Why? Because again, the Jordan River emanates from the Banyas Falls. Zichrusa de dama kavda. We'll say just once we use that lashon, we use it in a different application. The essence of the liver is blood. I was about to say that Chazal viewed the liver essentially as a piece of congealed blood. Therefore, again, Kidra Biyitzchak, Torah Biyitzchak, Kavod Sheni Muach, Mitamei Berevius. Ultimately, again, therefore, I will say, if you have a liver that dissolved, so I will say it conveys tuma in accordance with a liquid shear. So I will say, if the liver dissolves, and if you have a revius, ultimately, again, of liquefied liver, that is ultimately metame, the same way that a revius of blood is metame as well. Zichrusa de Maya Pras. We'll say the origins of waters in Eretz Yisrael is the Euphrates, right? Is the Nahar Pras. That is the source of all water sources in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, the truth is, really what it means is over here, the source of water in the world, right? That's really what it's saying over here. That the source of waters in the world is the Euphrates, is Pras. Hanoder mimeme Pras. Let's listen to this. If you make a neder not to drink of the waters of Pras, aser b'chol memos sheba olam. No more water for you, right? Hech idami. So we'll say, so what's the case? Ile madar lo shasini mimeme de Pras. So I'll say, well, what's the case exactly? If a person said, I'm not going to drink from the waters of Nahar Pras, of the Euphrates, may Pras Udlo Shasina. So what that means ultimately, again, is what? Is the waters of Pras that he can't drink from. Ha Minara Achrina Shasina. But you can drink ultimately, again, from other bodies of water. Ela Da'amar Lo Shasina Mimai Da'asa Mipras. The other people say, what's the case over here? A person says, I will not drink any water that comes from Pras, that comes from the Euphrates. Well, if that's the case, I'll say, all waters, that we're assuming now that what? All waters come from the Euphrates. Therefore, if you say you're not going to drink any water that comes from the Euphrates, you're out. Listen to this. Kalanaros lamata mishlosha naros. All the waters of the world are below the three rivers that come out of Gan Eden. So the Gemara says, Ushlosha naros lamata mipras. But those three, ultimately, again, are below the Euphrates. So I'll say, ultimately, again, the Gemara is saying, based on this, it is Nahar Pras that feeds all the other all the other bodies of water. So we'll say, so the three that we're referring to over here are Chidekel, Pishon, and Gihon. So Chidekel, Pishon, and Gihon are higher than the other, than all other bodies of water in the world. And the when we say higher, what's the imagery? They're feeding the other bodies of water. And the Euphrates is higher than even those three. So the Euphrates feeds Chidekel, Pishon, and Gihon. And those other three feed all of the other water sources in the world. So the Gemara says, is that true? Vaha Ika. What about Amadeus? Vaha Ika Insa Dimedalion. What about ultimately again the springs? Right? Rashi says, Insa Dimedalion, Enos Hamayim Hanovos Baharim Ramim, Vahano Gavami Pras. What about the springs of water that are on top of mountains? Right? Those are higher than the Euphrates. Don't write. So, why does it say that the Euphrates is highest? I will say, get ready for this. Hano sume deprasninu. Those are considered to be the ladders of the Euphrates. What does it mean, the ladders of the Euphrates? That ultimately, again, Chazal assumes that what's happening over here, there are underground channels through which the Euphrates is feeding those springs, even on top of mountains. I've haksiv. When speaking about the rivers, it says the fourth river is Pras. Now, so what I'm saying about is that you have Chidekel, Pishon, and Gihon, and the fourth river is Pras. The fact that it calls it the fourth river of Pras tells me that Pras is on the same level as the other three. We just said before that it's Pras, it's the Euphrates that feeds the other three. Here it sounds like what? That ultimately, again, Pras is on the same level as the other three, to which the Gemara says, Rashi says over here, Hu pras haniskar lemalo, v'nar yotze me'eden shasholshe for the meadow. To which the Gemara says, no. That's a reference. When it mentions pras, it's referring to pras that was mentioned earlier, which is the primary river which feeds the other three. The other three then in turn feed the rest of the bodies of water in the world. So we'll say, it's actually quite beautiful. The Gemara's understanding of this is that ultimately, again, the Euphrates is the primary body of water that feeds the bodies of water in the world, then channels its water into the Chidekel, the Pishon, and the Gihon, and from the Chidekel, Pishon, and Gihon, they feed the other water tributaries in the world as well. Tanya, Rabbi Meir says, Yuval Shmo. The Pras, the Euphrates, is also known as Yuval. Shene Emar, Bosanun He Amud Beis, six lines down. Shene Emar, Vahaya Keitz Shasul Amayim, Vaal Yuval Yishlach Sharashav. It will be like a tree planted by the water, Vaal Yuval Yishlach Sharashav. And Yuval will send forth its branches. So really, so the Gemara is suggesting that the primary name of Pras, ultimately, again, is Yuval. So why is it called Yuval? Right, because it goes ahead and it puts forward its branches. V'lama nikra shmo Pras, ultimately, again, why is it called the Euphrates? Shememav parim veravim. Because they both say its waters multiply. Its waters multiply. So the idea that it's waters multiply is that the Pras feeds all of the other bodies of water. And therefore, ultimately, again, that's why it's called Pras. So this supports the view of Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, Nara Mikife Mivrach. So this ultimately again Shmuel says that Nara Mikife Mivrach means that the water ultimately experiences its bracha from its sources. So Pligadirav, Damrav Ami Amarav, Mitshrava Ma'arava. So what this is saying over here is as follows, that Halacha Lamaisa, Shmuel saying that really a body of water ultimately supports itself from its own underground springs. That's where the majority of the body of water kind of gets its volume. Not from rain, but from its own underground springs, its own underground sources. So it says the Gemara, Pligi de Rav, this seems to argue on Rav, because what does Rav say? Amrav Ami Amarav, Mitraba Ma'arava. If there is rain in the West is ultimately a reference to Eretz Yisrael, Sada Rabba Pras, the great witness about the rains in Eretz Yisrael, is the Pras River, which Rabbi say means what? Which means what? That when the Euphrates is swollen, that shows that it's raining in Eretz Yisrael, which sounds like what? Which sounds like the bulk of the Euphrates River its water comes from what? Comes from rain. So here you have Rav saying that the Euphrates is primarily fueled by rain. Shmuel said that it's primarily fueled by what? By its underground springs. So I just want to point out, this just seems to be a fundamental machlokes in how the Euphrates works. Rav seems to indicate that ultimately it's primarily fueled by rainwater. Shmuel says it's primarily fueled ultimately by underground springs. But interestingly enough, the Gemara tells a fascinating maysa. Avua de Shmuel, Avid Luhu Labanase Mikva Beyome Nisan. So Shmuel's father would make for his daughters and daughters-in-law a mikva that they could use during the month of Nisan. Umaftzi Beyome Tishrei. And he would make for them mats for the month of Tishrei. Okay, what does this mean? Here we go. Mikva Beyome Nisan. So let's remember again. So Shmuel's living in Bavel, right? So Shmuel's father did not want his daughters or his daughters-in-law using the Euphrates as a mikvah during the month of Nisan. Why is that? Ultimately, Yom Nisan, Savala Kirav, Da'amar Rabbi Ami Amarav, Mitshaba Ma'arava, Sahada Rabba and Pras, Shema Yerbu Notvin Ala Zochlin, Vahavalu, so on, let me say this again. Because it was ultimately the father of Shmuel, held like Rav, who said that what? When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, so the Euphrates River becomes swollen. Now we'll say a very important halacha about mikvos. You could use a river as a mikvah, but that's only if the majority of the water in the river is river water, not rainwater. Now, interesting enough, we know rainwater can be used as a mikvah as well, but it can only be used in what kind of mikvah? Stationary water mikvah. So you could dig a hole, collect rainwater, and that is a mikvah. Flowing rainwater does not work as a mikvah. Shmuel's father was concerned that in Nisan, which is the end of the rainy season, ultimately the Euphrates was swollen. He was concerned with rainwater. So because that is possible that the majority of the water in the Euphrates was rainwater and not underground spring water. Because of that, he did not want his daughters and daughters-in-law using the Euphrates as a mikvah. He dug for them a different mikvah. They had a different mikvah. So the Gemara says, Tzadrav Pras Shema Yerbu Notfin Ala Zochlin, because maybe ultimately again the rainwater will be more than the water that flows from the underground springs. Vahavalu Megishamim Ruba. And therefore, again, the rainwater will be the majority, which would then invalidate the use of the Euphrates as a mikvah. The Gemara goes on, Umav Tzebiyom Tishrei, and why did he make for them mats during the month of Tishrei? Listen to this, we'll say why. Isn't this because in the month of Tishrei, remember again, the waters of the Euphrates were a little bit diminished. Because remember, this Tishrei is the end of the summer, right? So the banks were a little, so the water had receded a little bit. Because of that, the banks were very muddy. So he was concerned that when they used it as a mikvah, what would happen? Their feet would sink into the mud. And it could be a chatzitza interposition for tefillah purposes. So what did he do? He made for them mats. What would they do for the mats? They'd stand on the mats. This way their feet would not sink into the mud. And they would use the Euphrates ultimately again as a mikvah. Upliga dide adide. And the truth is, Shmuel himself seems to contradict himself, because it was, remember again, Shmuel said that what? Shmuel said that halacha lemaisa, the Euphrates is really primarily powered, right? Primarily fueled by its underground springs and not by the water, and not by the rain, excuse me. Damer Shmuel, ein hamayin nitarim bizochlin, ela pras biyomei tishrei. And I will say, Shmuel himself said that the Euphrates water is only good ultimately for a mikvah in the month of Tishrei. Why? Because then you could assume ultimately that it is a majority of spring water and not of rain water. Look at Rashi. Ein pras biyomei tishrei shepras hayumim av parn v'ravin v'zochlin anovim v'ayonas merubin v'od shetishrei sovim me'akai tol yarduk sham zman meruba alma naros misarim me'me gishamim. So Shmuel seems to contradict himself, because beforehand Shmuel said that what? That the Euphrates River is always primarily fueled by what? Always primarily fueled by the underground springs. Here he seems to say that really one should only use the Euphrates as a mikvah in Tishrei. Why Tishrei? Tishrei is the end of the summer, long after the rainy season has ended, and you could be confident ultimately that the Euphrates is being fueled by the underground spring water and not by the rain water. All right, the boss will stop over here, but we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoyach.